welcome back to episode 41 of Rebook, the show where we talk about the men and women slapping meat in the middle of the square circle and the stories they're telling in the process, brother.
That's the most coherent introduction you have maybe ever done on this program.
How dare you disparage my good name? I'm Golden Boy, speaking of. We got Jake, we got Matt. We're going to yap about some wrestling today. Fellas, good overall week of things happening. Bad in some instances, you know, obviously ignoring world issues, but, you know, keeping your focus on wrestling in Alabama. Jake, how you doing, buddy? Because it's a sad... Five points, right? It was a 5-point game.
It didn't matter. It could have been 50 points. It was pathetic.
Who's Vanderbilt?
Yeah.
aren't they like a really accomplished school? Like, I know
they are.
Vanderbilt.
They're actually, yeah. They're actually, they're actually very,
so
like, they're one of the best medical universities in the U.S.
Wow.
They actually are. When my mom was dealing with cancer, that was one of the places that we looked at trying to take her was Vanderbilt, because they have one of the best cancer programs in the U.S. They're the Stanford of the South. I mean, is kind of what Vanderbilt
now
is.
How's their program, though? Their football program?
Well, traditionally
better than Alabama's.
Traditionally bad.
Oh,
bad.
I guess it's a good thing. You'd rather them focus on, you know, the things that matter, like cancer research and like helping people.
Nah, man, screw that.
And it turned out our defense was the only
Bring
cancer.
Home the
all
goal.
Along.
Oh my lord. But you know, it wasn't all sad.
I'm glad that I'm in a better place now, where that would have ruined my month.
Yeah,
that would have ruined my month. I would have been in a shit mood all weekend. And I'm just glad that it doesn't affect me like it used to.
I'm happy.
I'll just say that.
I'm happy for you, man. We're making progress, dude.
Because I told Sean, I was like, I don't think there's enough alcohol or marijuana in this county to deal with losing to Vanderbilt.
Oh man. But you know what? Look, and while that was sad for sure, it was Matt's birthday. Happy birthday, Matt.
On Saturday? I thought it was yesterday.
It was yesterday.
Monday. Yeah,
so
Monday,
we're recording
yeah.
on Tuesday. It was on Monday. Yes, indeed.
Wow. And you are now the right age of 64 years old. Wait, 50 or how old now, Matt?
How old do I feel? I mean, yeah, you're right on cue there. Yeah. I'm in mid-60s at least.
Yeah.
But in real person time, 37.
Really? But you know mm-hmm. what? You know what, man? You look better than all of us. So,
that's true.
You have a six pack. I have.
Well, Jake has hair.
I have a sack.
I drank a six pack.
He drank a six pack, and I just have a sack for a stomach. So, you know, look at us go, guys.
I have a keg.
Right.
Hey, and you know what, though? For myself, I was at the Halo World Championship this past weekend. It was awesome. They announced,
who won?
Oh my God, Space Station Gaming. So Optic Gaming goes, they win the first three maps. Now Optic was coming from the loser's bracket, so they would have had to win the first series to reset the bracket. They win the first three maps, and then you're like, oh snap, Optic's going to do this. They're going to reset the bracket. And then Space Station Gaming just won the next four straight, like nothing, like just dropped them and won the organization's first world championship and some of those players' second world championship. Really, really cool. It's incredible, man.
So we just are going to talk about like the great time everybody had, but I have to relive the worst loss in Alabama football history.
Hold on a second.
Yes.
We celebrated Bama's glorious win against Georgia.
Yeah, that's in the past.
So we can't praise our accomplishments.
Yeah, but I don't think you understand, GB. This is like you came over and watched The Rock beat John Cena at WrestleMania. This past weekend, The Rock lost to the Hurricane. That's what it is like. That's the equivalent.
Oh man. I feel for you, brother. I feel for you. Wow. Well, you know what? If you want more riveting coverage of Alabama's struggles throughout the SEC this season, of course, Rebook is the place to be because you're going to hear it here every week from one Jake G. Bennett.
That's all right. I'll do a sports spinoff when we do the Rebooked Network.
Rebook Sports.
The Rebook Podcast Network.
I actually think it would be really funny to do like Rebook Sports, Rebook Games. What if we became like the positive version of Barstool, where instead of being a bunch of douches, we were like, nice. I don't know. Maybe that won't That's get possible. That far.
Yeah.
But in any case,
I will talk some mad shit about sports, though. So
let's actually, not this is fair. This is fair. So I take everything I said back. We'll be just as bad, if not worse. Down with them all. All right. So now, guys, there's been, as always, a lot of stuff happening in the world of pro wrestling. So if you always want to stay up to date with what's going on Rebook, make sure you join us on our Discord. You can also check us out on YouTube. And if you're listening to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and especially on Spotify, use that comment section and let us know what you think of the episode. It's simple. Just go ahead, react, respond, and we'd love to hear from you. Now, we have a lot to dive into because there has been a lot to dive into this past week, and we have Bad Blood that just took place. We're setting up for AEW's Wrestle Dream. We now know what our main event is going to be for TNA's Bound for Glory. So we're going to be covering a good chunk of the stuff here today. So if we're not covering every single narrative and every single story, we apologize. But as always, let us know in the comment section down below what you want us to focus on, what are going to be some of those stories that interest you as well. But for now, let's go ahead and dive into our first topic because we got Bad Blood. Now, jumping into it, overall thoughts on the show, fellas. Did you like it? Did you not like it? Matt obviously didn't like it, so he abandoned ship.
Not a fan.
Not a fan of WWE Bad Blood. But Jake, let's as Matt comes back, let's start with you. What did you think of Bad Blood?
Well, I'll tell you, GB, it came at a really bad time for me on Saturday.
Yeah. Why is that?
It came for a really bad time for me on Saturday because it was like in the second half of the Alabama game is when this thing started, right?
So I watch
Drew and Punk. I feel like I got some aggression out during that Hell in a Cell match.
Good, healthy.
My attention significantly wavered until the very end when I wanted to find a tall building. I did get to watch like what I kind of thought were the three most important matches of the night. And I enjoyed it. I thought Hell in a Cell was one of the best Hell in a Cell matches we've gotten. I really, really enjoyed it. Both of them just did some outrageous shit. It really felt like a fight. It felt like a match. Again, this we've said all along, the story has felt like it's worthy of Hell in a Cell. And this match was worthy of Hell in a Cell. I thought it was supremely well done. I really enjoyed it. It was exactly what I needed at a downtrodden time in my life.
A lot of people online, especially like people, the folks who get mad about blood and matches or, excessive blood and matches. But I think when you want to tell an effective story and you really want to hammer home that, like, that these people truly hate each other. And I think that the same can be said, by the way, for the Hangman Swerve feud, which is why I'm mentioning that it did feel worthy of it. This one also felt very worthy of it, even if, Matt Drew got busted open inadvertently. That was the old hard way, as we like to say.
Yeah, that was pretty nasty. But it was kind of a perfect meeting. I mean, the show was Bad Blood. It's the biggest blood feud in the old school parlance that WWE had going on. And it's a great example of, I think, the direction WWE is going in, and not that we'll see this all the time, please no.
Yeah.
But the idea of like, hey, it's okay to have it again, because it is like anything else. I mean, this is a stage show. Everything we do, whether it's stipulations on matches or the weapons they decide to use, things like the break, they're all props. And even the use of blood is a stage effect, is a prop. Like you, it's used to illustrate a part of the story, the intensity with which these guys are doing this to each other, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a great example of why, when used sparingly, it's an incredibly effective storytelling tool. And
it means more.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, when it went away for good, I get it, the whole, like, PG thing and everything. I understood why, but when it totally went away, you did feel something missing in some of your hottest feuds. Like, I mean, again, not all the time, but when used sparingly and in the right moments, just like Hell in a Cell itself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you, it elevates the situation, and that was all done to great, like, perfection with this feud and with this story.
I do feel like this was expertly done, the perfect final layer to this great story, and they now look forward, and this is where I'm fascinated, because CM Punk comes out and essentially says, guys, I'm going away for a little while, I gotta heal, I gotta rest up. And we kind of know the reason why, you know, because our next big event is going to be Crown Jewel. And I don't really suspect CM Punk to be in Saudi Arabia anytime soon. So he'll be going away for a bit. But I guess this comes into the gripe that I had of the match. Because if you know that CM Punk is going to go away for a while,
why does he win?
Why does he win? Unless you got something real special planned with Drew.
Yeah.
And that's the only justification that I can think of. Right, Matt? I don't know.
I mean,
that, what do you think?
We've talked about this all along. Who is the good guy in this, right? There is no, and it's not clear as day. CM Punk has done a lot of things that were very unbecoming. And, you know, and Drew McIntyre was very valid in a lot of his gripes, especially early on.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in the parlance of the story, it is pretty clear to me that CM Punk was your babyface.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As written. We can argue about the little nuances, and it was not a knight, you know, white knight versus a dark demon, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It was shades of gray, but CM Punk is your guy. He was the underdog fighting up against this psycho Scotsman who's with his obsession over the titles at the beginning, and then Punk himself in the end. So it, to me, it is a classic case of, while I get the scheduling thing, your on paper written good guy in the end overcomes the guy who's been screwing with him and obsessed with him and torturing him for the better part of the last year.
Yeah. Well,
so,
I mean,
I think that's kind of the long and short of it.
What's next for Drew? We will find out. We didn't see Drew McIntyre at all on Monday Night Raw, but who we did see a little bit of was Seth Rollins. Came out for a brief little interaction with our dear friend, Chicago made Punkius. He was confronted by Seth Rollins, and man, it's like on the one end, I know that these guys are hamming it up for the camera, but on the other end, I also kind of very much buy into the not good vibes that they have between one another, which makes this really, really fun to like watch as a fan. But it's we'll see if anything actually, you know, comes out of that down the line. But of course, we had Seth Rollins addressing Bronson Reed, because that's the reason why Seth Rollins was out. So that's going to be fun. Bronson Reed, Seth Rollins down the line. Of course, as that develops, we'll talk more about that. But focusing more on Bad Blood here, you know, overall, though, I guess I want to ask you then, Matt, did you get a chance to watch the overall show then? Mm-hmm. What did you make of the overall show? Did you feel like it was good, but there were moments where I was like, oh man, I would have liked for him to have taken it in this direction rather than taking it in this direction. Like the livery
or Bad Blood
okay. In particular. Yeah.
Bad Blood was a barbell show.
And what do you mean by
that? That's a term I just made up because I'm really smart like that. In the terms of going from left to right, or I guess from either side, you start, there's a big old weight on one side,
mm-hmm.
then it gets real thin in the middle, and then there's a big old weight on the other end.
Okay.
And that's what the show felt like. Felt like it was bell-ended very heavily. Yeah. In the middle of it was, aside from, I'll give a little bit of a spike, shout out to Rhea and Liv, the return of Raquel Rodriguez adds an interesting wrinkle, and that was entertaining, but I thought the match itself was kind of like, okay, and like, but the rest of the show kind of was like, cool, just kind of coasting along, and then the main event was mostly notable for just what happened at the end with the return of The Rock and everything like that, so, and as well as Jimmy Uso.
Yeah.
So, yeah, to me, it's kind of like an bookended, not bell-ended. Oh, my God, all my British friends are going to be laughing their asses off. Not bell-ended, bookended. It was a very bookended.
We just smiled and nodded the whole time. We're like, yeah, bell-end.
Lousy bell-end. Yeah. But, yeah, it was a bookended show, very highlighted by the beginning and the end.
I agree.
And the rest I thought was kind of...
Yeah, like, I was, you know, the Bayley-Nia Jax match was okay. I was not too compelled by that one. Then you had the even Liv Rhea had some fun moments, but overall I was like, I guess maybe because we've seen some of these matches already, we've been like, we've gotten Bayley Nia a few times now, you know, we've gotten Liv Rhea a few times now, so maybe that's what it is. And I do agree, Raquel Rodriguez coming in certainly does create a little wrinkle. We saw her briefly with the team. They asked if she was a part of the Judgment Day. No answer was really given. More on that next time on Dragon Ball Z. So speaking of the final part of that show, and you know, the final boss, guess who was back, guys?
The final boss
is back, everyone. The Rock has returned in a dramatic moment, but one has to wonder, did he come out for Cody or did he come out for The Rock and Jimmy? You know, I mean,
Roman and Jimmy.
Roman and Jimmy. Apologies. Yeah. Did The Rock come out really because of what's going on with the Bloodline, or is this now the start of The Rock versus Cody Rhodes, the WWE Championship, you know, because we know that's inevitably going to happen.
I mean, that's the question, right? That's the ambiguity of the moment. That's what they want people like us.
What would you prefer?
I think it's Rock and the family and the Bloodline, the real tribal chief potential things. I think that's the no-brainer. I know they teased Rock and Cody. I don't think that's a guarantee. I really don't.
Yeah.
I know they really hinted it right before he left, right after Mania. I think that's something you could easily forget. I think the more straightforward story is this Bloodline goes on somehow, some freaking way, 17 years later, we're still finding some things to do with the Bloodline.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it is. A lot of people are we heading to, I think Rock and Roman is definitely a goal. They didn't get it last year. They pivoted. I think they want that frickin' match. But do we have, Mania has done a lot of times with triple threats. Is this going to build to a WrestleMania 41 triple threat for the title? Roman wants his title back.
I'm not mad about a triple threat. When you want to go big, I think a triple threat is definitely the way you go big, especially with
that. You protect The Rock a little bit too, and you know, doesn't have to do all the heavy lifting in a singles match.
You can also make it a little violent, so this way it doesn't have to be like a pure wrestling match, because honestly, I don't think The Rock needs to do a pure wrestling match in 2024, the year of our Lord. So, you know, I think that could very well work out. Jake, what do you make of The Rock showing up?
I thought the ending fell a little flat. It was a little awkward, I thought. Especially he comes out and then he just does a countdown and you're like, Oh, I thought somebody else's music was about to hit. I thought someone else was coming out or something else was about to happen.
Yeah.
And then just his music starts again. And I'm like, there's a thousand ways you could have done that better than what you just did. Yeah, I don't know. I assume we're going to be getting some answers on Friday, on SmackDown, as to why exactly Rock came back.
He also came back with the belt.
He also came back with his People's Champion belt.
Well, Red One is coming to theaters soon.
Oh,
so I'm sure we'll be getting some cross promotional.
That's right. I completely forgot about that. But real quick though, I do want to take a random aside and do a service to society. Go and watch Transformers 1. Do yourself a favor. That if there's a movie with one that you should watch, it's Transformers 1. That's it. Anyway, I digress. Excellent movie. It has no business being as good as it is. It's like borderline.
That's what I've heard. I've heard on par with Ninja Turtles and with
Spider-Man. Literally. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, literally that. Anyway, that random aside. But yes, I that does. It's the unfortunate reality when you are the biggest celebrity in the world, practically, or one of the biggest celebrities in the world. So, you know, there will be some movie promotion.
Yeah. If we're talking about why did Rock come back, I think he came back because of Roman and Cody. I think he sees how dangerous that is and how much a threat it is to the stability of the bloodline. And I think he's there to put a stop to it before it gets any worse than it already is.
We should address, he did go on Instagram Live, right? And considering the show with what we're just about to talk about, and like they did a lot of interesting ways of marketing and moving and communicating new stories, including, again, the Kevin Owens thing we're about to talk about. But The Rock went on IG as he was leaving the building. This wasn't WWE cameras. It was on his own, you know, social stuff or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he elaborated a teeny tiny bit and just throwing out to the saying, and that quote, you know, there's been some bullshit going on the last 6 months that the final boss is upset about. So he did make it kind of clear that the way things have been going, not the way he's been liking. We can still throw some, is he mad at Solo for how he's running the bloodline? Is he mad for Roman for turning on them?
Yeah.
That's still up in the air, but I believe didn't also Solo Sikoa tweet something to the effect of like all part of the plan or something like that.
When he was in the crowd with Jacob, a fan who was behind them as they were watching filmed them, and you could hear Solo whisper to, or not whisper, but say to Fatu, it's all part of the plan.
And maybe they knew people would be filming it. You know, again,
I don't know how losing is all part of the plan, but it has been part of the bloodline's plan lately, apparently.
Yeah, actually, I found it right here. Let me go ahead. I don't know if you guys can hear it, but probably not. But
nope.
Yeah, but yeah, this is basically it. You can't really hear it, but
right here. It's all part of the plan.
He says, all part of the plan. That's as he zooms in right at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
He says, all part of the plan. That's what he says. So, all right. I mean, all part of the plan. You know, we'll see what the plan is. But you know what, though? You know what? If I may, for a brief moment, and I think we all kind of saw this coming, Rock has to be the head, the real head of the bloodline. I think this whole
dare
time,
I say the bell end of the
bell
bloodline.
End of the bloodline. but you know, like we had mentioned before, and this takes us to our second topic here. There was just a, you know, brief, mild mannered confrontation between two adults that took place. And you know, I mean, we really shouldn't solve our differences like this, but
this is wrestling, right?
I guess so. But they're having a conversation, Cody and Kevin, and well, you could tell that there's this very, through the body language and whatnot, Kevin Owens very mad that Cody went up on that stage, was alongside not just Roman Reigns, but also Jimmy Uso, who, by the way, I think Kevin Owens might hate even more. And now you have, like, this attack that just happens here. But the topic of discussion isn't about the content of it, because I think story-wise, it's really, really cool, right? But the delivery of this is even cooler.
I love like, it.
By fucking far. Now, what happened out of this was Triple H came out, put a tweet saying, we are aware of the situation. So good. Just so good. Stupid, but it's good.
It's perfect. Then, it's not, I mean, it's like...
It's like any company. We know it's performance theater, but it's like any other company responding. We're going to have an internal investigation on the situation.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
What internal investigation, motherfucker? He assaulted him. You saw it right then and there, right? But, I mean, Jake, you and I worked for a failing media company that struggled with new ideas.
Which and, one? I've worked for a lot of failing media companies.
To be fair, fellas, all three of us have worked for struggling media companies at any point in time had failing ideas. But Jake, this is genuinely really, really cool. But it why is it cool? Let the viewers know why is it cool.
It's so brilliant. And you know that like you're doing something right when you don't even have to get your own storylines over. Like you can just let
this was the first video I saw, by the way, for our listeners.
I mean, it was a brilliant way in the age of social media. I can't believe like this hasn't been done more often or done before of like, let's have an angle in front of fans, zero cameras present, and just because they know it'll go. They know it'll get out there. They know people are filming. They know it's going to spread. The very fact that they don't even mention it themselves on any of their social media also drives this even further of like, well, I mean, this is something that they're not even mentioning, that they're not even talking about. So it just does that one thing that wrestling fans seem to want more and more of, which is blurring those lines of reality.
Yeah.
And in letting something like this happen, I at first I was like, I can't believe we just pretty much saw Kevin Owens' heel turn not on television. But the more I thought about it, the more I'm like, that's kind of brilliant. Like yeah. there's something to like showing and not telling, right? And to a degree, when you're out there in front of everybody, you've got a microphone, all cameras are pointed at you. Everybody's listening to you. The focus is solely on you. That's you're telling the audience the story, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now you're part of it. Now the fans feel like they're part of it, part of breaking this story, part of molding it. And it's another way to get the fans involved. It's another way for you to have the fans be the one to shape and tell the story. It's a different, it's like a controlled and planned version of what happened with this past year's WrestleMania,
yeah.
of where the fans kind of took over and drove the story. And now they're letting the fans drive their own story for them. I think it's genius. I love it. And I think it's a great bit of storytelling. I think it's great.
Before also too, Matt, I do want to also say Kevin Owens. Yes. This attack was, you know, heelish, but very, very justified. When you
That's
think about
so great,
the narrative that has been built here, Matt, what do you make of how they did this?
Well, I was very surprised and happy with the first wrestling flash mob and that it went really well. that's kind of what it was. It was like, you know, I've seen like theater companies do this where they'll go to a mall and be like to advertise like the local show.
Wait,
they'll do a number in the.
this is not Andy coming to the office. Behold the tale of Sweetie.
It kind of is.
You think
they just did it? We're just like, we're just gonna do this, and it's gonna excite people. Like, what's going on here? And then they're gonna come watch our show next week. So the one thing, this whole deal, like, I love that it was organic. The fact that all you saw it, the way it was spreading across, was media outlets. The way I saw it was media outlets picking up legitimate fan footage, and yeah. they were so genius because that building, and they park Cody's bus right under where the fans are walking out through the outside of it. That's how you wrap around
genius.
To the parking. I remember that building. So they specifically put it right there. It was great. They knew everybody would be filing, huge lines of people filing to their cars and out to the parking garage and everything. So you knew it would get caught. So this.
And those don't look like wrestling.
Oh, and Kevin and Cody were like, we're not going to do a stomp and fire up and get it. This was like hockey
that looks
fight
like a
or
street
like
fight,
fight,
street
fight.
Brawl. Yeah. Yeah.
Like a flat out fight. Like you can even see like they're separating them. They're picking Cody up. So this is the footage being WWE had pumped out, of them, you know, making it also seem like found footage, which I also thought was really clever too.
Yeah. And I'm mad at the WWE because they've turned me into a hypocrite.
How so?
A little bit, because I've said on this show, and I still do to a certain degree, I've been Mr. like, what happens on TV? It's on TV. You know, like kayfabe is kind of, it's dead. And like, we're actors, we're performers. We can acknowledge that. I don't like when people have to go on and tweet as their character and all.
Yeah.
I've been very vocal about that. And I still do believe that. But even despite
that,
I think it was too, but it was very, very cool. I really, really liked it.
Yeah. And it's all, you know, based on something that feels real. You know, like the end of the bloodline, right, Jake? Like the WrestleMania 40, like for these guys, for Kevin Owens, who had literally been dealing with him throughout all of the pandemic up until now. Like it had been 4 or 5 years of Kevin Owens dealing with the bloodline, right? So that is why that's what makes all of this so fascinating. Alone, yes, alone, because he didn't have Randy to have his back back then.
Randy was hurt.
And
Cody
was out there
even part of the company,
starting like, another company to compete against him. So, you know, like, I think it's very.
And arguably Kevin Owens, and because he's brought it up before, I mean, has a right to say he should have been champion because of that whole last man standing match. It's great. I really love what they're doing here. I'm interested to see. You know, I kind of thought that this boil over would wait until Survivor Series.
Yeah.
So now that this has happened, I mean, because if it happening now, like really puts Cody behind the eight ball, because now he's got to worry about The Rock coming back. Someone who's been an ally and close friend of his has now turned on him. Like, can he really trust Roman? Can he really trust Jay? Like, it's
the walls
closing in. He is in a proverbial no man's land of like, what can he expect and from where and from whom and when? Like, it's really, really well done.
Yeah. They got a really good thing working here. Of course, SmackDown this Friday is going to be very, very entertaining because we're hopefully going to be hearing from Roman Reigns. Cody just showed up on Monday Night Raw and acted like nothing happened and just wanted to kind of like brush it to the side, which I thought was also interesting. Even Sami Zayn had talked to him briefly. So I thought that was a really cool connective tissue between the two men and the situation at large.
But
so
it's
again,
also a clever, like, you're going to have to watch Friday and see
exactly
kind of thing.
You're
going to
have
to watch.
But
they played it like, you know, hey, that's not what I'm here for. They even... Joe Tessitore, when Barrett brought it up, was like, we're not allowed to talk about it. I liked how taboo they kind of treated it.
Yeah, yeah. It was smart.
I thought that was a lot of fun.
Really smart stuff. Cool, compelling storytelling across the board. Of course, we'll be keeping track of it here. And it seems like this show got started with the WrestleMania 40 arc. It seems like we're getting ready for another big arc with Cody, Kevin Owens, Randy Orton, The Bloodline, The Rock, Roman Reigns, everything. It's going to be absolutely bonkers. But when we come back, we're going to talk about TNA. That's right. We got Bound for Glory. We're going to talk about the main event heading into TNA's biggest show of the year. And we are going to be covering Wrestle Dream. It's time to get sleepless in Seattle. We'll be right back. Hey everyone, if you want to join us on Discord, you can go ahead and click the link in the description down below right here on YouTube, as well as on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Join us on Discord so you can be a part of the conversation where we talk about all sorts of things happening in the world of professional wrestling, on top of the fact that we're just a couple nerds. We just like talking about wrestling, talk storylines, talking all the fun stuff. Check us out on Discord. You can click the link down below. We'd love to have you join us. It's a good time, and we'll see you there. All right, everyone, welcome back to Rebook. GB here, back with Matt and Jake, as always. And we have even more to dive into. Now, you know, we talk about TNA, but there's so many things to cover in pro wrestling, and TNA's like recording is always odd, and then I'll never want to put Matt in a bad situation because, you know, he like works for the company. But this time around, you know, I just have to speak my truth. I just have to speak my truth, Matt, because I'm frustrated. I'm genuinely Ooh. Frustrated. Now, I'm a TNA stan. I enjoy going and watching total nonstop action. But what I cannot and will not stand for is the travesty that has occurred in the name of Joe Hendry against Frankie Kazarian. Frankie Kazarian deserved to have won that match. He should be fighting Nick Nemeth for the title, Bound for Glory. I call shenanigans by Santino. Absolute shenanigans.
Look, again, so one of the weird things about the TNA taping schedule and my tenure there is, yeah, I have a little bit of inside knowledge. Or if you were at the taping, you would too. We have banked our final closing episodes, and let's just say Mr. Ooh. Frankie Kazarian has unfinished business with this announced main event matchup of Joe Hendry versus Nick Nemeth for Bound. There's still some more wrinkle to come Ooh. Before we get to Detroit. Just a little bit. But he's upset too. As a character, he is obsessed with getting the one thing he's never gotten in TNA. He's done virtually everything else in the company multiple times over the course of 20 years. But that world title still is obsession. He's still going to have an effect on this matchup. But yeah, I mean, this in a way seemed kind of inevitable though from these characters. I mean, Nick finally won. I mean, he's the face of the company at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But Joe Hendry is the worldwide phenomenon, man. He's the viral sensation. You got to kind of roll with that to some degree. And that throws a lot of questions and a lot of ambiguity from the smart lookers on, the people who think they know everything. This is a tough call, which makes it an intriguing one.
Yeah.
It's good guy. So whatever. I like it when
you
there's
see,
a little
I,
bit more.
I don't know about that. I don't trust that Nick Nemeth, if I'm telling you right now.
Oh.
Something's cooking there. He seems just too nice. All right. He's on commentary with you, you know, acting all sweet and kind. And I don't trust him.
And we still don't know what the hell this JBL shenanigans is all about.
Yeah, that just, too.
We're here
that
or there. Too. Like, he's not there with him every week, but like he's like this specter. Like, who shows up at the right moments, like, helps Nick out, and then just, like, tips his hat and, like, fades into the shadows.
He's like the mysterious stranger in Fallout. Like,
yes!
That's what JBL is.
Hell of a perk.
Like, yeah, it is a great, dude, I use it in Fallout 76, and it's great. Because I'm like, I need help sometimes when I'm battling big stuff. And then maybe it seems like Nick Nemeth does, too. Nick Nemeth just locks his vats on his opponent. And JBL appears out of nowhere.
It does remind me of Sting, you know, back in the day, right? When he was like finding who were the bad guys, but you didn't really know why he was doing what he was doing. This one, though, seems a little more straight of like he just seems to be protecting. But we'll find out. I really like
it. You can't trust JBL.
You really can't. There's a lot of really cool stuff happening there. I know you guys had a delay, right, in airing one of the last episodes.
Yeah, so because we were going to be in South Carolina, so then we shifted last week when we recorded our episode. I was in Nashville for the taping. So
wow,
as of this recording,
wait
I mean,
a minute,
last week's when episode,
what day did you film?
Wednesday and Thursday.
Okay,
why?
Because Vanderbilt is in Nashville, and if you were there Saturday, I was going to blame you for.
Oh,
it all comes back to the SEC.
No, we were out of there by the time that happened.
Yeah,
but,
yeah,
yeah. So we missed a week of buildup, which sucked because of all that last minute stuff, we had to throw on a best of show last week.
Yeah.
But so then starting this week up will be the final 3 weeks building up to Bound for Glory.
All right. Well, we'll be keeping tabs on all that. I'm curious to see where the story goes here. What's happening with Nick Nemeth and JBL? What's going on with Joe Hendry? What's going on with Frankie Kazarian, who's cheated out of his opportunity?
And I will say, too, as a little bit of a preview, we are marketing here I don't even know if I'm allowed to say that. I'm giving you the scoop, whatever. Bound for Glory will be all about kind of a triple main event.
Ooh.
I won't say what else is going to be considered the main events, but like
Nick Nemeth
and Joe Hendry is one for sure, but there's two other matches that they are kind of, we're building as a three triple main event situation.
Oh, I'm excited for those. Of course, Bound for Glory, October 26th, this month in Detroit. It's going to be awesome. I want to make it out. I want to get out there for it. It's going to be sick. We're looking forward to that one without a doubt. But now let's go ahead, though, and shift our focus to AEW, because we have a big, 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 big weekend of action for AEW, Wrestle Dream. And look, you know, we can comb through the entirety of the card. I don't think it would necessarily be a prudent idea for us to do so. But there certainly is a lot to discuss here. I think, you know, we'll start off with the, we'll talk about the two big headlining matches that are going to be drawing, I think, a lot of the attention. And that, of course, is going to be our international championship matchup. It is now a triple threat. It'll be Will Ospreay, Ricochet, Konosuke Takeshita, aka three of the best goers in the company. They're going to absolutely put on a barn burner. And there is a little bit of story here, which I am very, very fascinated to see how the chips fall. And then, of course, we have Jon Moxley going up against the AEW World Champion, Bryan Danielson, who is on retirement watch. So we'll start first with our international championship match here, fellas. What do you make of it? You know, this definitely is a weird pay-per-view. It has had a very, very bizarre build leading into this, but I am still excited for this international championship matchup. How are you guys feeling about it?
I don't think we needed to make it a triple threat. I'm really much more interested in Ospreay and Ricochet than I am Takeshita being thrown into the mix. I kind of wish it had just stayed between those two. Hey, look, and it's not because I don't like Takeshita and don't think that he's he's incredible. AEW seems to have the tendency to like, let's throw one more person on the card. Let's throw one more card. Let's throw one more. And it's not always the best call. I mean, like sometimes what you have is plenty. What you have is enough. And I think I think this ongoing story that's technically been building between Ospreay and Ricochet before Ricochet even came to the company, I think that's the more interesting story that I want to explore. I mean, because we had, you know, we had what, a disqualification between the two this past week, which is what's leading to this
double
match.
Pin. It was a double added more time, and then Takeshita came out.
And then right.
And then interfered.
So I don't know. It's again, like, I don't like having two guys go in a match like that if we're not going to like really see something definitive. It kind of is like it's what WWE has done until Triple H took over, which is feeling like we're going to have these false finishes and have these, run-ins or interferences. And actually that's a lot of what happened at Bad Blood. Run-ins, a lot of interferences, which muddies the waters. And I don't know. Ricochet deserves his moment, and to have that diluted by adding a third person to the match, that kind of...
I want to play a little devil's advocate.
Well, fuck you then.
Yes. Thank you.
Oh, I'm a big devil's advocate on this one too.
I think, Matt, you might be thinking the same thing I'm thinking here, because I don't know if you remember, but last week, what were we talking about would have been the cool angle coming out of the Ricochet-Will Ospreay match, especially considering what happened in the tag team championship matchup, right?
I see what you're saying.
So I I think that the theory of Don Callis having his greedy little fingers all over Ricochet's career right now is very, very possible because of this. Because now you have an opportunity for Takeshita. Now, I don't think that Takeshita is going into this matchup to make sure that Ricochet wins. But I do think that if Ricochet wins, it makes way more sense for him to be winning because Don Callis sees an opportunity to hitch his wagon to Ricochet,
yeah,
to the rising star, rather than, you know, the guy who has struggled to get him wins and the guy who abandoned him.
You know? I will say, if Takeshita is in the match just to make sure Ricochet wins, that will bother me.
No. I don't think he's in the match to make sure Ricochet okay. wins. Okay. I think that, see, now, if you're Don Callis, right, and you're a piece of shit, okay, and you're thinking, what is the best way for me to maximize my chances of bringing gold to my struggling faction, which is what he's trying to do right now, right, is you have 2/3 of the competitors in the matchup in your pocket.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah. I think, and one of them, both guys don't even know he's in the pocket. And I like that narrative.
I was going to say that would be that you can't, like, cause we have to assume that Ricochet is not on board as a character with, are we assuming he's
got to be in
deep.
He needs to be in. I think that it works best for Ricochet right now to just be a bad guy. And I'm going to tell you why I think it's going to work really well for him to be a bad guy and why I think he's actually doing some really, really good work. Go to his Twitter. My guy's out there picking fights with people.
He's talking a lot of shit
time.
On Twitter. Yeah.
Talks a lot of shit on Twitter and a lot of people get mad. Now, some people will be like, maybe that's just him, you know, now that he doesn't have the shackles of WWE's social media juggernaut looming over him.
But that didn't stop Drew McIntyre.
Case in point. So why is it that Ricochet, a guy that, you know, and look, Jake, you and I have worked with Ricochet. Matt, I believe you know Ricochet as well. Pretty nice guy in real life. Like, actually one of the kindest souls I've ever met. So, like, I'm really
you don't get
compelled.
With Samantha Irvin and not be a chill dude.
Yeah.
That's very true. So I think that there's something here. And that compels me. But
yeah,
if it doesn't happen, then we come back here and then we critique and then and I'm not saying that it needs to happen this way. I also want to be clear in that because I don't want to be one of those people. I take the story for what it is. And guys, I don't even know what to expect out of this. It's going to be Jon Moxley, Bryanson, as he has been named on this show. And I want to also call him Moxleyson, if you guys would join me in that.
Moxleyson.
So we have Bryanson versus Moxleyson.
Absolutely not.
Going up against one another here. I know, because I actually am kind of afraid of Jon Moxley, so maybe not. And I mean that in what's the proper term?
Well, if you're calling him Bryanson, then the same thing made to Moxley would be Joxley.
Joxley.
Joxley's a pretty dope name, though.
Bryanson versus Joxley. For the AEW World Championship, Matt.
What did I do?
Hey, Jon Moxley, if you never watched this show, because, you know, just go ahead and attack him. All right, so fellas, let's discuss here. This has been the dominating
story.
For
the record, I'm more afraid of Renee than I am of Jon.
Well, as you should. I mean, that goes without saying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you have both of them at once. You're dead. You know, like it's
she's
just
the siren that tamed the beast. So I don't know.
Well said, my friend. We all know Bryan Danielson is at a point where if he loses a match, he retires. Jon Moxley is on a mission to win the championship for reasons we do not understand.
Yeah,
Matt, what the hell is going on here? Is it Shane McMahon?
Here comes the money. Can you imagine if we hear that? If they watch Tony buys the rights to that crappy song.
Wouldn't be the worst thing, but it also wouldn't be the best thing. I don't really like the idea of a McMahon. Why? Doesn't make sense. But yeah, Matt.
Other than buzz and, you know, a little bit of like, oh my God.
Does legitimize them, I guess, to
I don't think it legitimizes them, but I think it It causes some buzz.
It's very, to me, it very much reeks of late WCW.
It's just like, whoa, what is this? And then after 2 weeks, you're like, I don't care.
You can't create an alternative to the McMahon family dynasty and then embrace a member of the McMahon family dynasty.
Yeah, but that would be the ultimate. Anyway, I don't know. But all that being said, yeah, there's a lot of mystery in the air over what this mission of Moxley and these, I don't know if they're still the BCC or former BCC, however they kind of want to be identified.
Yeah.
And their mission. And like, it started off with the infamous Shivani interview with, "This is not your company anymore." And I remember thinking, I'm like, yeah, that's what any faction says at the beginning, right? Like, oh, we're taking over.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was actually really annoyed because I was like, do you guys remember the Elite? Yeah, they were a faction. And they pile drove the owner of the company, and then like we kind of forgot about it.
Yeah,
and there was supposed to be like a power struggle going on, and it kind of never really was decided. So I guess the Elite just work here again, apparently. And like regular wrestlers again. So I'm like, oh wait, they dropped that one, and now they're gonna do another like power struggle faction.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping whatever the reveal is, maybe it's at Wrestle Dream, maybe it comes out of Wrestle Dream when I have to imagine Jon Moxley inevitably loses. Maybe they take the next step to turn up this war with everybody in AEW or whatever, and that brings out whether it's a new member or a new leader or whatever this kind of mystery. It is cool. Yeah. I will say, like, the kind of ambiguous mystery of this all, which we've been hearing is there's a lot of I've not seen the movie in a while. A lot of inspiration from the movie Romper Stomper, which is an old Australian Russell Crowe movie.
Apparently
is where Mox may have gotten some of his inspiration. But which I think is about skinheads or something like that.
Ooh,
like it's about these kind of like outsider groups of people.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
So
we call that American History X.
Yeah, pretty much. But anyway,
I call that a bad time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but honestly, I actually do like that. And I like that blending of genres as well. And the idea that you really want to, that he's very angry. He's very frustrated. He's very pissed off. You don't really understand why. I mean, here's a man who's how many time world champion now? 2-time, 3-time world champion, mm-hmm. something like that. He is the most successful champion in the company, you know, by far, as far as like, you know, reigns and records goes.
Is he?
Yeah. I don't think anyone has matched him for title reigns.
Maybe not number. I know MJF is the longest reigning.
Oh, I'm talking like purely number and his like overall record as well. I mean, Jon Moxley's like overall record in AEW is pretty insane too. Like,
yeah, it's pretty.
You discussed a juggernaut in your company. Like, this guy is literally it. Predictions wise though, do you think Moxley wins and we retire Bryanson, or is this going to be just a start of whatever this story ends up being, Jake?
I think interstage left Wheeler Yuta.
Ooh, he has been connecting tissue for this story.
Very
how
much.
So?
I think Mox is going to get to a point where maybe he's using some less than legal tactics, and perhaps the rest of the BCC comes out to interject themselves, and Wheeler finally says enough, and maybe helps Brian, maybe we see a little, like, I don't know. I think it'd kind of be cool to see a Jedi young Padawan kind of story with Brian Danielson,
which AEW does very good with.
Yeah, and I think that could be pretty cool. And maybe it's
and Moxley is Emperor Palpatine.
Yeah,
yeah.
And he's trying to groom him to that's been a cool wrinkle. It's like they don't hate Wheeler. They're not angry, even though he's been resistant and has been angry with them and everything. They're not like F you and beating him up or anything. They're still trying to, like, come on, kid.
Yeah.
Come into the fold.
Now,
remember who you are. Join us. One of us.
Now I just want, because Claudio, he's Anakin, and now I just want to see him go into a preschool and do the spin to a bunch of kids in a preschool, like the younglings,
like wrestling students.
Yeah, exactly.
Love it.
What I was going to a wrestling school and just
yeah.
No, I think that would be a really cool thing. I think it'd be cool to see something like, you know, he takes Wheeler under his wing, and then his final match is he's like, it's, you know, it's time for the student to become the master. And he gives Wheeler a shot or something, or I don't know. I'm just trying to think of some fun things that we could see come out of this. And that could still further the story between BCC and Danielson as well. I mean, but I have to imagine Wheeler, his involvement is somehow going to come into play.
Yeah.
At WrestleDream. Got to. Yeah.
Has to. So let us know what you think in the comment section down below. What do you think of the card for WrestleDream? You excited for it? Are you excited for the matches? And also, what do you think of our theory? Sound off in the comment section down below. New segment this week. Okay. We did it last week. We're just going to do a quick check-in. Who's winning the Royal Rumble? As we do it.
Rumble watch.
Oh, I got to make the graphic. Dang it. I got to make the graphic. Okay. Well, I know Scan actually had who our picks were last week.
Yeah.
Because he's been tracking them. So I'm going to open this up in the browser so that we can see it here. So here you go. So this week I picked CM Punk and Chelsea Green. Matt, last week you picked Cody Rhodes and Chelsea Green. Jake, you picked Bronson Reed and Roxanne Perez. I guess this week I'm sticking with CM Punk. But now I actually think it's going to be Rhea Ripley. I've changed, because I think they're going to get the belt with Rhea, and the belt, I think she's going to go away from it. Because they got to give Liv like an actual run, man. She's got to fight someone else at some point in time.
That is, yeah, I agree.
So that's my thought. All right, Matt, who you got? Sticking the same?
For laughs, I want to. I just want to stick with Cody Rhodes forever, because I have my thoughts on that. But no, you know what? I'm gonna go Kevin Owens.
Ooh, okay.
Because I think it's one of the, and another guy. It's like one of the big things he hasn't done yet in WWE, and I think with this feud with Cody, he's being positioned for a top. So I don't feel like it's a guarantee, but like I feel like it's a strong possibility this year with the way he's been part of this kind of main angle and involved with Cody and Randy and everything like that. So I'm gonna go Cody, and I'm sticking with Chelsea Green.
Yeah
hell of a dumpster match.
It was great. We didn't get to chat about it, but my goodness, what an incredible matchup. Yeah,
so much fun,
so good. Jake, what about you?
I liked Kevin Owens. That's who I was going to go with as well. I like Kevin Owens.
Bronson Reed was a bit of an out there pick, but I liked that you were swinging for the fences. But
yeah,
it's
but
not
we're
out
also
of it
we're
reality,
also so far out that I'm kind of just trying to think of outside the box.
Yeah,
answers anyway, because my women's is an outside the box. I think
who is
a surprise returning Alexa Bliss.
Oh, I wasn't ready for that one. They don't really do the surprise return winner often, right? When's the last time they did that? Like John Cena, I guess, when he came back, that Rumble?
Yeah, there was that one. I'd have to look back.
Edge
I can't
was close.
Off the top of my head.
Yeah, we got a lot of close ones, but we've never gotten, like, you know, the surprise. But I love that. And also, I mean, Alexa Bliss is legit as hell, so that'd be really awesome. All right, cool. So there
I'm
you
a blister.
Have it.
Is that what her fans are called? I don't know.
A blister? I don't know. Blisters? You should get that checked out.
I'm a blister.
Yes, there you have it. But as always, you guys know what's going down here. It's our rebook. Wait a minute. Our rebook 24/7 champion of the week. The audio just kept lingering. Rebook 24/7 champion of the week. Fellas, you have your pick. I have mine ready to go. I'm excited. Mm-hmm. All right.
We'll go first because I don't. I have to think.
Okay. So my Rebook 24/7 champion of the week is just the funniest. just the funniest moment, I think, from WWE Bad Blood that I just have to make fun of, because it was when Drew McIntyre ran ass first into the thing.
Oh, just yeeted himself into the steps. Oh,
I want to know if you guys can actually hear this. It's like Mario, and then he like jumps on and he dies. It's just so stupid. And
you know what the funny thing is? Everyone kept making it look ass first. He fell on his butt. All that. I'm like, no, he fell on his lower back.
Yeah.
Spine first onto the corner
I would rather fall on my butt than where he hit.
Yeah, I would have rather hit my ass cheeks.
Like right on the corner?
That was lumbar right on the point. Like,
I don't know
if his goal was to like land flat onto the steps, maybe.
That's probably why we didn't see Drew on TV. All right, Matt, what's yours?
So mine are a magnetic, magical set of characters that attracted the WWE universe's attention and caused rampant discussion and speculation this week, because of their anonymity or ambiguity, I guess I should say. My 24/7 champions of the week are The Rock's fingers, because when will this motherfucker learn to count like a normal person in some way, shape, or form? He throws up, if you please watch the video version, the one like this, not like this, not like, you know, number one, like backward like this. Then I was convinced forever that he counted to four, but I look at it now, it counts like one, two, then puts his finger down and counts to three with his pinky and like cast it up, but you can barely see it on camera. He couldn't just go like 1, 2, 3, I'm coming for you, or something like that. No, the most confusing counter on the really planet.
Oh man, Rock, we gotta check out your how things are done. Maybe when you're so rich, you don't. Come on, he's so rich, he's not counting one. You know what I mean? What is he counting? One? Like, no, he counts 100 million.
He counts millions. He counts by the millions of dollars.
I like that. I like that. Jake, what's yours? Do you have it now?
I'm gonna give it to. I guess mine's more. Yeah, I'm gonna give it to Sheamus, and to Pete Dunne. Because I really enjoyed the Donnybrook match. But it actually just led me to, what is the American version of a Donnybrook match? You know what I mean? Because they'll have a good old-fashioned Donnybrook. What the fuck is a Donnybrook? Like, it's just a weird, like, Irish stereotype match. Even though, like, Butch isn't, bless my heart, I'm for calling him Butch, but Pete Dunne is not Irish, and so why is he in an Irish fight? Couldn't it have just been a pub brawl? It had to be a good old-fashioned Donnybrook?
Well, the American version of a Donnybrook is whatever happened at the end of Roadhouse.
Now, see, where's that match? Give me that match.
But you do...
Somebody's heart pulled out of their chest, and...
But you did know why it was... Is like the good old fashioned Donnybrook match, right?
Because it was sponsored by a whiskey company.
It was sponsored by a whiskey company, dude. It's so good. Yeah. You can actually see it. It was a
1792 whiskey or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. You can see the brand
batch.
Right here. Small batch.
Which you want to know the ultimate irony?
Uh huh. Go for it.
That's a bourbon.
It's not an Irish whiskey.
It's not an Irish or a European or like English or anything or a Scotch or anything. It's an American bourbon.
Then have a bourbon brawl. Have a bar brawl. Yeah. Have a bar brawl, whatever.
Maybe that's America right there. We will sell you something, tell you it's something else, act like it's something else, but we ain't going to tell you the truth because we got the marketing dollars at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. There is one more brief shout out that I want to do for our dear friend, Tom Hannafin, because I don't know if it will be able to be heard, but the fall was done. One of the players from the Houston, Texas did the fall. That poor guy was just trying.
Shout out to Ace Austin from TNA. Yeah, that's pretty much what his finisher is.
That was so good. That was fantastic. But yeah, awesome stuff across the board. Lots of fun in the world of pro wrestling this week, as always. But guys, I want to thank you for your time. Yeah, there's going to be a lot to cover. So next week, we'll dive into what happened in WrestleDream, what went down over there. We'll see what the response is from Kevin Owens on SmackDown and whether or not there's ramifications leading into Crown Jewel. We didn't even talk about the Crown Jewel Championship yet, which...
Flavor Flav?
We have some thoughts, but we'll save that for next week. But we want to hear from you guys. What are your thoughts on the build now?
Your thoughts
for the
and
crown.
Opinions.
Thoughts and opinions for the Crown Jewel Championship.
But anyway, folks, that's going to do it for us. Thank you so much for checking out Rebook this week. If you haven't enjoyed what you heard, make sure you give us a sub on YouTube. You can also follow us on Spotify as well as Apple Podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much for watching. We'll see you next time, folks. Peace. Later.